at the University of California, Davis, new vending machines have been installed. A wellness-to-go vending machine that dispenses the Plan B drug was installed earlier this month at the University of California, Davis. Along with the abortifacient, it offers Advil, tampons, pregnancy tests, and condoms. Quote, Kristen Hawkins said, quote, colleges and universities should be offering pregnant and parenting students options of housing, financial aid, diaper decks, and child care instead of handing over abortion drugs, said Ms. Hawkins.
I want my pizza vending machine.
Plan B, also known as the morning after pill, is referred to as emergency contraception. Plan B became available, but just listen to what's in the machine. They call it a wellness machine. Here's what's in the machine. Advil, Plan B pills, tampons, pregnancy tests, and condoms. I just think about this. So if you get the condom and then you remember, you slosh yourself up with the tequila, and then you think that, ruh-roh, might have made a baby.
Oh, what am I going to do now? Oh.
Try abstinence, or I don't know. Maybe not dress the way you do. I don't know. And on and on and on and on. Don't worry. If you go to the vending machine, you can get the condom. Oh, wait a minute, fellow co-ed who was engaging in hookup culture with me. I'm going to go down to the vending machine, get a couple things and a snack. I'll be right back. Comes back with Advil for the hangover, condom for the big party. Bag of Cheetos, you know, for the after snacks. You can't smoke anymore. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and 3 weeks later, hey, I went back to the vending machine. Guess what I got? I got a pregnancy test. What happens if you go and take the pregnancy test and the pregnancy test comes back and says, ooh, you're pregnant. Congratulations, winner, winner, chicken dinner. No problem. You go run back down to the vending machine that you started with where you got the condom. Right next to the Cheetos. Don't need the tampons now, though, right? You're back to the vending machine. Get the Plan B pill. It says take one. All right, we'll take three. Women do not realize, and young women are not being told, what those pills actually do. Try to, in a sanitized manner, explain it. How do you prevent an ovulation from occurring? How do you prevent an ovulation from occurring? That's why this is so dangerous. How do you prevent it? Well, what you do is you ingest drugs that do what? If there are hormonal signals that tell, a little part right there where the ovulation, where the egg would be made, that tell it, hey, an egg has already been made. You need to squeeze it out. You need to get rid of it. So what does it do? It kills it. It's what it does. It basically kills it. It doesn't prevent ovulation. It kills the ovulation. It kills the product of the ovulation. As I understand it. Student reaction was mixed. But Partik Singh of UC Wellness to Go told KRON 4 News, I feel like every college should have this. Blah, 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 blah. Human Life International Director of Communications Stefan Phelan remarked on the troubling trend. The modern American university, where abortifacient drugs are called wellness, and a biological male can declare himself a girl and have anyone who disagrees thrown out of school. We hope parents are paying attention when deciding which schools they will support with tuition dollars and donations. Da, 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 da. The fact is that it is a fact that when Plan B works, it works mostly by preventing implantation of an already created human being, not by preventing fertilization. This is from the story here. The fact is that most young women who buy Plan B from that vending machine will end up killing one or more of her children in the womb. It is truly horrible that providing mothers with the means to kill their children is acceptable to our society. Governor Mark Dayton of Minnesota has vetoed pro-life bills that have come out of that state. Now there are two bills that, let's see here, the social conservative tide that flooded Mark in November did not rise high enough in Minnesota that to secure the passage of pro-life bills to defund abortion and to regulate abortuaries. There are two bills in the Minnesota House. We are pretty hopeful and confident that they will pass in the Senate as well, said Bill Poehler, Minnesota's Concern for Life. The second measure has undergone significant amendment in order to ensure passage. But none of this is going to matter because the governor is going to veto. Now, again, for those of you that think that all that is needed to get out of the pickle that we're in is to secede from the American Union, and while that may be a step along the way, if we don't correct the order, and if we don't correct our moral thinking, which the order will correct, well, then none of this is going to matter. You're going to have smaller fiefdoms that are still going to be killing babies. You're going to have smaller fiefdoms, ultimately, that may wind up in feudal wars with one another because nothing has principally changed. You haven't gone through and attempted. You know, folks, we don't talk about these things, about what needs to. And look, there's no such thing as a perfect society. There are going to be. You know, the reasons that St. Augustine was writing about abortion is because it wasn't that women were lying down on stone tables and having third or fourth century physicians use implements to kill their babies. They never would have thought of that. What they were doing was they were taking poisonous concoctions that had demonstrated an ability to produce stillbirth. In other words, you could drink this stuff or eat this stuff or whatever, and you chemically would abort the child. That's why St. Augustine was writing about it. If you ever wonder, well, how was Augustine writing about abortion? He's writing about chemical abortion. So illicit sex and immorality has been around since Adam and Eve. It's been around since Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. It's been around since Noah and the time, in antediluvian times. That means before the flood. Each one of those societies was ordered by Almighty God to get its house in order. Like in the story of Jonah, God says, hey, Jonah, how about a little, you know, little respect? And Jonah goes, what do you want? What can I do for you, my God? I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to bring this message to the Ninevites. You tell them that I said X. No, man, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Those people are jerks. Time passes. Jonah, you need... Ultimately, of course, Jonah goes, I'm going to go across that sea, but I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going on a vacation, end all vacations, Lord. Of course, the whale swallows him up, and where does he spit him out? Pooh, Nineveh. Anyways, the point is, God has been telling man and all civilizations since the beginning what the moral order is, and that you better obey me. And of course, man has chosen no. That's all we're doing is repeating the error of Adam and Eve. Known serviam, I will not serve you. Who are you, God? Whatever. We got a liberty here. We don't need you, pal. It's the same old story. And in the rare instances where societies, countries, sovereign states, have obeyed God, and you had peaceful, beautiful results of Christendom and the ages of faith. Those are rare. That's an exception. Well, and what ultimately brings that about? Saints, apostles, going into places where they're not wanted and converting those that resisted conversion. We don't ever talk about that. You know, Brother Andre Marie may be the only honest soul in all of North America, because at least he says what he intends to do with Reconquest. Make Christendom North America. That's the goal. How are you going to do that, brother? Well, Mike, we're going to convert 320 million souls from the offices of the St. Benedict Center. That's how. Of course, he doesn't actually say it like that, but at least he's clear about what he wants to do. We're not talking about converting people. You can change governments all you want. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. If you don't have a Christian population that's willing to live under and live by the order, forget it. We may as well just deal what we're dealing with today, form ourselves into our own little communities, secede, withdraw our consent where we can, hide our income as best as we are able, do business with one another. Of course, they'll ultimately come and find some of us and persecute us, if not outright kill us. But if you're not going to pray, if you're not going to work for the conversion and for bringing the Americas under the loving, charitable, protective gaze of the Sacred Heart of Christ, what are we talking about then? What a new, more, better informed, a better, well-regulated militia and form of constitutional government? What does that do? You may as well have the status quo. You see the point? You see the difference?